hello, hello. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner NCHV, National Coalition of Homeless Veterans. Today is Saturday, July 18th, 2020. We actually have panelists who are calling in, Catherine Monet, and also she's the Chief Executive Officer of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and Ralph Cooper, Community and Residential Veteran Services Coordinator at Cloudbreak Houston, LLC, and co-founder of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. However, we have one person on the line who actually is saving my life every time I meet with him. That's Cliff Kelly. He is recovering from a minor medical issue. And Cliff, we are so missing you here at the studio. And I'm sitting in this seat made for a giant icon, and that's you.
You folks are just great. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very clearly.
Great, 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 great. No, you folks are wonderful. You really are. You've done doing some great work there. First part was just nothing short of excellent. You filled in everything that needed to be done, and I just think, you know, you folks are great. I'm hoping to be okay in the next couple of days. I should be anyway. That's what they're telling me. So
yes.
you folks keep pushing for me, okay?
Oh, we will, because you are
okay.
You are on the radar of everyone here, and we because I think I owe you a dinner, so you better get that soon before I run out of money.
I like that. See, that's why you're great. You keep your commitments, you know.
Okay. And, okay, so we'll go back to it's America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner NCHV, National Coalition of Homeless Veterans. And I already introduced Catherine Monet and Ralph Cooper, who are on the line. So we're going to be talking about testing COVID-19 homeless veterans. And welcome to the show, Catherine and Ralph. And we are really happy to have you here. This is a very important topic. Catherine, can you lead us off and tell us a little bit about the organization and why you're so concerned about COVID-19?
Yeah.
We're waking up real bad.
Yeah, there's some interference there. Can you all hear each other?
Yes, we can. I can hear Catherine.
Catherine, okay.
Can you hear me?
And
so
Ralph,
I can
yes.
hear you, Mr. Kelly. Clyde, I can kind of hear you. I think you said to tell everyone a little bit more about NCHV. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we've got a bad connection, and I wanted all this information to get out. All right. Why don't you just take over that, Colonel? Okay.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. Yeah, yes. Just tell us a little bit more about NCHV and why you're so concerned about testing in homeless veterans.
You sound so far away, Colonel.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
It's coming in a little bit better, but you could even be a little more clearer.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe you can tell us about NCHV and why testing for COVID-19 among homeless veterans is so important for us to pay attention to.
Okay, well, NCHV has been around for 30 years, and we've been fighting for, you know, the needs of veterans who are experiencing homelessness, whether it comes to, you know, accessing housing, accessing yes. employment, accessing any of the other benefits and services that they might need to, you know, stabilize in permanent housing. One of the things that's really important in this pandemic is to make sure that they're getting access to safety, right? Because when you're homeless, it's really hard to, you know, isolate. It's really hard to get to medical care when transportation may be a barrier. And so one of the things that we're concerned about is ensuring that they have access to testing from VA, whether it's in a shelter setting or in permanent supportive housing where they might be living, or even if they're unsheltered and out, you know, in the streets.
Yeah. So how is that paid for? Is it covered by the VA? Is that a benefit for our veterans? Because if they're homeless, many of them have issues with, with being unemployed or having mental health issues, such those kinds of things going on in the background. So how is this covered, and how do they present to get tested?
Well, I can speak a little bit to that. We have a 500 unit facility in Houston, Texas, and part of that group is people who are still transitioning from the street into housing, and they're in transitional housing. Mm-hmm. And the VA is not testing our folks. We have to engage a private contractor who, in some cases, are paid through the CARES Act. So this new CARES Act, for those who can't access health care and get tested through the VA or have to get tested elsewhere, a lot of these companies are operating under the CARES Act. That's one way those tests are being paid for.
Okay. So does it, can a person have to, does they have to go to a VA facility, or can they go to a regular private hospital? What type of facility do they have to go to if they want to get tested?
Well, of course, the VA right now under the COVID is a very troublesome process to go to a VA. Most of the VA services now are being done via teleconferencing, so it's hard to get tested that way. However, the emergency unit is open, and that is one way that if they're VA eligible, then, they can utilize that. But a lot of the veterans that are on the streets aren't VA eligible and can't utilize the VA.
Oh, boy. So they really need to find some other alternative source for testing. So we need to actually have another mechanism in place for them, right?
So, yes. I mean, I think another mechanism, or just having VA do it. I think one of the frustrations that we've heard from our members across the country is that, when you've seen one VA, you've seen only one VA, and there's not a lot of uniformity with regard to the decisions that it seems like medical centers are making about testing, particularly in the settings where you would find homeless veterans. Now, for those who are in places where VA has been out to the shelters testing, it doesn't seem like there has been a lot of retesting. And it also seems like they are limiting their testing only to VA-eligible veterans, which means, if you're a veteran in a shelter that maybe has 10 beds for veterans and 30 beds for civilians, you're only testing the 10, which means that they still could be at risk if the shelter can't find someone to test the other 30, or if the staff at the shelter aren't veterans. They're not testing the staff, and the staff are coming in and out, so I mean, we would hate to see a scenario where homeless shelters turn into the next, state nursing home where you've got outbreaks because people are coming in and out.
Yeah, because that brings up another point. So if the person does test positive, then what's the recourse at that point for a veteran, who's homeless? Because are they hospitalized, or how are they taken care of at that point? And especially if they are asymptomatic or don't have the criteria for hospitalization, or even if they do, how do we approach veterans at that point, or how should they be approached?
Well, there are kind of two scenarios. I think Catherine can address the one around those veterans who are not already housed. But if they're already housed, there are two methods that I know at the facility where I am. U.S. Vets has a deal with the hotels, where if a veteran in their program gets tested and is found to be found to have the disease, then he can be isolated and quarantined in a hotel unit. Okay. in the on the site where we have individuals who have the that are housed independently, we have a number of units that are set aside for those veterans who may come up positive and can be quarantined in a unit apart from and separate from the rest of the population.
Oh, yes, yes. That's really important. And if they do become hospitalized, then I guess they have to go, if they don't have insurance or those kinds of issues, then there is a process I guess they have to go through regarding coverage, you know, whether it's through a county system or through the VA itself, that probably will come into play. So what are you seeing now? What are you seeing a great number of veterans who are testing positive, or what's been the experience of this so far?
So that's an interesting. Oh well, go ahead, Mr. Cooper.
No, I wasn't sure. Go ahead, Captain. It's okay.
That's an interesting question because it's been very difficult, I think, to get information from VA on the number of veterans who have been tested and tested positive who are homeless. I think the first information we got, the only information we got, was about a month ago, and it seemed like there were around 400, I think they said 450 or so veterans who had tested positive of the, I believe, 10,000 veterans that they had tested who were homeless.
And, you know, and when you're looking at homeless veterans, because I know you're very close to this issue, what is the age breakdown? Because one of the things that is really noted with COVID-19 is that people, for example, in Illinois State, about 93% of the deaths have occurred in people 50 years old or older. But we've had some recent wars, of course, you know, with, you know, Afghanistan, with Iraq. And so, you know, our veterans, what is their age distribution and who's really at risk when we look at a population base? You know, because the worst consequence you can have, of course, from COVID-19 is death, of course. And, you know, there are some other underlying medical conditions as you get older. If you do develop high blood pressure, diabetes, and such, you actually get this. You get this. Position where those people actually will develop, you know, more severe disease. So I'm not sure if there's an age breakdown of veterans. And then we're going to go to a caller as soon as you answer that.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. We're here. I wasn't sure if Mr. Cooper was going to get that or not. I'm happy to share.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah. I think Dr. Arnold was. Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh. Whomever. Well, so they tend to be older, right? I think what we're seeing is a large cohort of, you know, Vietnam era and then, you know, first Gulf War era veterans. And I think smaller cohorts of younger veterans, but those veterans tend to show up, you know, homeless with their families, which is an additional challenge.
That is additional. Yes, yeah, that is most definitely. We have a caller, Robert Burlington. We're going to go to you. He's going to talk about his experience being tested at the VA. Hello, hi.
Hello, Cliff and the panel. How y'all doing over there? I'm in Berlin, Iowa. And Wednesday, I went to Iowa City, the VA up there, to get some I have a bad knee. They took a radiology to my knee. Anyway, outside, they scanned you. I was 97. Mm-hmm. Inside, I was 97. Also, now, when they take your picture, they put you, I was thinking about they were taking my picture. They put me in front of a thing like a scanner. They told me to hold still and look at it. But they scanned the whole body. That's the way they're testing in the VA over here. I think that is right. I've been tested three times. Not tested, but I went in to get my x-ray on my knees, and they jacked you up then, you know.
Well, I think what's your name again?
Robert M. I'm
Robert. Robert, I think, yeah. Though, what they do is take a scanner and check your temperature. One of the symptoms with the disease is that you end up with a high temperature. But 97 is normal. So I don't think it wasn't the test, because the test requires a swab to be going down your nose all the way touching near your throat. So you would know if you got tested.
You sure would. You're right.
Yeah. Yes. So, thank you, Robert, for that insight. That's something that, we have to be really cognizant of what our veterans are personally experiencing as they're going through this. And so, as we're looking at people who are homeless and veterans, they have other needs as well, food. And as you were mentioning, Karen, Catherine, that the people who are there also have family members sometimes. So they are living on the street as not just by themselves as a veteran, but as a homeless veteran, as a homeless family. So what do you think we should be doing from the veteran standpoint? And if they are, the spouse of a veteran, they may be covered by the VA as well, through TRICARE or some other type of coverage. So what do you think we should be doing, Catherine, to reach out to those families? Is there another need?
Well, so I feel like there are a couple of things, right? And I think the first thing is that I want to applaud some of the outreach workers who are still doing street outreach in the middle of a pandemic and trying to connect veterans and civilians to housing. I mean, I think in the immediate sense, if someone is unsheltered, we should be moving them as quickly as possible into some kind of isolated housing, whether that's, a place like Mr. Cooper's working, or it's permanent supportive housing, or if we don't have anything, moving them immediately into a hotel or motel setting where they can be safe, right, while we're also connecting them to healthcare at VA and other services that could help with, food benefits and all of the other things that they would need, while we're also working on housing for them and something more permanent. Because, at the end of the day, these hotel and most motel placements are wonderful, and that people can be safe in the middle of a pandemic, which seems to still be raging on, but they're not permanent, right? Like, at some point, the hotel industry is going to come back, travel will be back, I assume. I don't know when, but, we've got to figure out how we're going to find housing for all of these people. And I think last I heard, VA had something like 5,000 veterans in hotels and motels with the CARES funding that they got, which is really great and testament to the hard work of grantees across the country.
Sure.
5,000 veterans in need of permanent housing that we don't want to exit back to homelessness.
That's certainly correct.
Yeah, Cliff, do you have anything you want to say about the, because I know you are a Vietnam veteran. You saw people coming back and in many different situations.
Absolutely.
People still in them from our Vietnam veteran heroes who are on the street. And it sounds, somehow we have got to break this, break into this cycle. It's unconscionable not to be testing the homeless veterans, because they serve this country. It's a simple swab that we have to give to them, and I can't understand why we're not doing that. This is just unconscionable.
Well, Doc, you're totally correct on that. We've got to do it. There's no other way. We have to do it.
Yes.
And we can find a way to do it, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Yes. If we can put someone landing on the moon, we can do something.
There you go.
We can land someone in a homeless site to test someone. So
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so, one thing, too, is that we also are coming up to a season, and I've been talking to the state really in depth and working on some projects with them for the COVID-19 response. But also people need to get their flu shots it's before the fall season. So I've been convincing them to move from October, November time frame to August. And the reason is that we don't want people going into the healthcare system during a time frame when with the flu, when we may have a secondary pandemic wave later in the fall. And our veterans need to be able to get their flu shots. I get my flu shot every year at the VA, here in Chicago. And so what about, you know, just the routine care for our veterans, the flu shots, and making sure that they have the kinds of medications they need, they're getting the access to the health care that they need? So, you know, Ralph, you can answer, you know, speak to that, or Catherine.
Yeah. Catherine or
Ralph. A lot of our veterans are subject to the leadership, and they don't believe, number one, that this is really a problem, just like a lot amongst our population. Mm-hmm. They're skeptical. They think maybe if I get tested, I'll get the disease, or they just don't believe that. I don't believe that there's such a thing as this pandemic. So education is critical, and especially for those who are on the street and those who are entering into facilities like mine from the street. We need to spend a lot of time just educating them, getting nurses from the VA to come out and have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. If there's some video information that we can be letting people know that this is real. And, you know, we try to utilize people who we know and that they may know that have been tested positive and gotten sick from this. So we've been very fortunate in the facility that I have, and we have about a 500-person residency, that we have not had anyone to be technically hospitalized nor die from this pandemic. But that is not the case in most of Texas.
Okay. And we're closing up. You know, we're coming up on time right now. But one thing I want you to address really quickly is, what about the issue surrounding masks for these homeless veterans? Because we keep talking about, the importance of using masks and making sure that people have access to them so that they can actually effectively social distance. Any thoughts on, you know, supplying masks or supplies that they need, hand sanitizers, those kinds of things?
Well, on my facility, we have boxes of bandanas and masks, which the VA has helped provide. As far as the street giving out masks in the street, I'm not really familiar with that. Are you, Catherine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I am a fan of masks, right, and harm reduction and, you know, taking as many precautions as possible. So
sure.
I think to the extent that VA can do that, they absolutely should be. I mean, I feel like I've heard that masks aren't as much of a challenge sometimes as some of your other sanitation supplies that, right, you know, shelters or permanent supportive housing operators might need to keep facilities disinfected. And so I think if there was anything that VA could do to, you know, even just supply some of these facilities at cost.
Okay. Oh, yes.
With disinfectant and, like, those types of supplies, I think that would be really helpful, because I just keep hearing from folks who are struggling with their supply chain and saying that their normal supplier, you know, has a wait list and it's going to be a month, and so they're out trying to, you know, buy the same supplies that the community is fighting for, too, and waiting in line at the grocery store, which is ridiculous.
Okay, well, you know, we have less than a minute to go, so any last words, Catherine or Ralph, anything that people should know, look at a website, a telephone number to call?
Well, I mean, if they want to learn more about NCHV, they can visit us online at www.nchv.org. We appreciate the opportunity to come and chat with you again.
Oh, great, great.
Look forward to it. It's great. Colonel Arnold does such a great job as a host and all, and I should be back with you folks shortly.
Yes.
But, of course, our executive
producer. Get well soon, Brother Kelly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Executive producer, Glenda Smith, of course.
Okay.
And our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari, and assistant digital media producer is Titus Williams. All great guys.
Yeah, all the great. They're all here and they're doing really well. Watching me.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on to a commercial break now, and as we close the show, we'll be back to see and talk to you very shortly after this short break.